Well, we're continuing the series in Romans chapter 5 today, and we're going to look at Romans 5, if I can have my first slide, applying the work of Jesus. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, because in Romans 5, Paul is talking a lot about, well, going back to contrasting Jesus and Moses, or excuse me, not Moses, Adam. And we have the picture of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And next slide, please. We won't go to the passage, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you find the serpent coming to Eve and tempting Eve, and the whole thing about the fruit. Can you eat anything? And, well, we can eat everything except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if we eat it, we're going to die. The serpent says, you certainly will not die. God knows if you eat that, you'll be like him, and you'll be able to decide what's good and evil. And so Eve thought about it, and from what the serpent said, it sounded like God really didn't love her, and that she couldn't trust God. God said, don't eat it, but he had mixed motives on why she shouldn't eat it, and that's what she was thinking. That's what the serpent put in her head. And then she thought, wow, I can be like God. I can decide for myself what's right and wrong, and I won't die. And her thinking got distorted about morality, what's right and wrong, about pleasure, what's going to really bring you pleasure and what's going to bring you pain, and about what's smart to do and what's dumb to do. And her thinking got distorted. Her desires to eat that fruit got uncontrolled. And the result was dysfunctional behavior. She ate the fruit, and she gave it to the man who was with her. And he took a bite. And the result was guilt, shame, fear, an evil nature, and death. And the contrast of that is, of course, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next slide. So we see that Adam and Eve, when they ate, they had guilt because they had broken a rule. They had shame because they violated their relationship with God. They had fear because they were going to face consequences. And now they had a nature that was predisposed to evil. The word evil in the Old Testament involves both something that's wrong, that's morally wrong, but also it involves the idea of something that brings about calamity. And so their lives now were messed up with both senses of evil. They were doing things that were morally wrong. They were also doing things that brought calamity into their lives and into the world around them. And this is why Jesus came. Next slide. You have God, who is a just and holy God, who requires that debts be paid, and yet you have a God who loves us and loves us so much that he paid the debt for us. Again, in Romans earlier, we looked at the verse Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And next slide. So why did Jesus die? Because God is holy and God is just, but God is also loving. And the coming of Jesus Christ brought that together, not compromising his holiness, but fulfilling his love for us, for he loved us deeply. So let's go to the book of Romans and look at the passage there. And we're going to divide the chapter up into two parts, and we'll look first at the first 11 verses. Next slide. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He's given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since then, we have now been justified by His blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Let's pray. Lord, what a fantastic word. What beautiful and powerful hope that we have through Jesus Christ. And we just open our hearts to You today and pray that You will make that word personal to us. That You'll help us to see and appreciate on a deeper level the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made and the life that we can have through that sacrifice. Speak to us, transform us, empower us, and demonstrate Your magnificence in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have this beautiful picture here in Romans that we've been justified by faith. We've been declared, justification is this idea of declaring innocent. And we've been justified simply by faith, not by a bunch of works we have to do, but by believing God's promises. And as a result, we have peace. And I love the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. And it really means not just peace, but it means well-being. It includes peace, focuses on peace, but it's much broader. And it includes well-being in every area of our lives. And so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace and joy, grace and hope. What a beautiful picture it is. And then he goes on and says, hey, you know what? We also can have joy in the midst of suffering. And he was writing here to a church where suffering was a real thing. They were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. They were in Rome at the center of Caesar, of idolatry. And they were coming up with another religion. And so they were persecuted. And yet, in the midst of their suffering, they could have hope. Because suffering produced endurance. And endurance, character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because we have God's love poured out in us through the Holy Spirit. And so they could have this joy in the midst of the trials they were going through. Not just, I'm going to suck it up and get through it, but I can have real joy in the midst of this. And God wants us to have real joy in the midst of the difficult and trying difficulties that we go through in life. And we see here in this passage also that Jesus Christ changes both our status and our condition. Verse 6, while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. That word weak is an interesting word. It's asthenia, and it means literally without strength. And if you look at the use of the word in Scripture, back in the Gospels, it says they brought the weak, those without strength, to Jesus, and he healed them. It was talking about physical illness. How many of you have ever been felt that without strength when you were ill? But he uses a beautiful play on words here. while we were asthenes, Christ died for the ungodly. And the Greek word there is asabeas. We were asthenes, and Christ died for the asabeas, which we see it from our perspective as we've got these weaknesses, we've got these struggles in our lives, the things that we can't accomplish, the changes that we can't make, and that's what we feel, oh, the pain. The real problem, though, behind the weakness is ungodliness. God created us in his image, in his likeness. We are to demonstrate his magnificence by having his life flow through us. And the real problem is, apart from God, we can't do that. We're in alienation from God. And we need to be godly. We need to share a relationship with him. We need to experience his life and his power working in and through us. And that gives us the strength. That transforms us. That makes us into something that reflects his glory and his beauty. So Jesus came while we were weak, while we couldn't do that, to give his life for all of us who were, while we were messed up, so that we could be like him. And that's the beautiful thing. So we see in this passage, excuse me, Jesus dealt with guilt, with shame, and with fear. In the first verse, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? This idea of being justified is to be declared innocent. The wages of sin is death. Anybody here hasn't sinned? I don't see any hands. Okay. You're all being honest. We all fall short. We all mess up. We've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So we all deserve death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. But that's where Jesus Christ came in. And he led a life that was totally sinless. He never sinned. But he died, right? They crucified him. And if death is the wages of sin, but he didn't sin, then whose sin did he die for? And what's the answer to that? Ours, yours and mine. How could one person pay the penalty for everybody's sin? Because he was not only man, but he was God. He was not only finite, but he was infinite. And so in his death, he could pay for all of our sin. And he did that. And now you and I are declared innocent. We stand before the judge. Uh-oh, we know we messed up. The judge says, not guilty. Your sin has been paid for. Your penalty has been paid. And you are innocent through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't need to walk around with a load of guilt. And we don't need to walk around with a lot of shame. Again, in the scripture, Romans 5, 10 and 11 says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Reconciliation is that bringing together in a relationship two people where the relationship has been severed, it has been strained, it has been violated. But in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled. God doesn't hold it against us. And we can come into his presence freely, at peace, and be able to communicate with him and talk to him and pour out our problems and our needs and our concerns and our thanksgiving and have him talk to us through the Holy Spirit. And he'll do that. He does that. He reveals to us his love, his grace, his truth. He gives us words of wisdom and words of knowledge, guidance and direction and peace and the joy of being in his presence. So shame has been annihilated through Jesus. And also fear. Again in Romans 5, since we have now been justified by his blood, excuse me, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Be saved through his life. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be afraid of God. We don't have to get uptight about, what's God going to think about this? We've been set free from fear. God loves you. He loves each of us so much. So much that he took care of the sin. He paid the penalty. And he's invited us into his presence for all eternity. And we can share in the beauty of his presence. He's defeated fear, guilt, shame, and fear through Jesus Christ. Let's go on in our slides to Romans 12. There we go. Thank you. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin, indeed, was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not counted where there was no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass has led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have this picture here of the contrast between Adam introducing sin into the world and Jesus Christ bringing forgiveness and righteousness. The book of Romans, by the way, throughout the whole book, we've got Paul writing to a church in Rome that has both Gentiles, the non-Jews, and some Jews in it. And culturally, throughout history, there had been a conflict between the Jews and other cultures. We're the Jews, you're the Gentiles. And this mindset had resentment on both sides. And so now you've got both of them coming to Jesus, and they end up in a church together. And how do they get along? How do they work through this conflict of somebody with whom there's a natural conflict? How do they bring about peace? And so the book of Romans, really, Paul is taking them through an understanding of how Jesus Christ brings reconciliation within the body of Christ so that students from Clarkson and State can actually get along, right? And community people and college people can get along. And young and old can get along. And we can all be one in Christ. Amen? So that's what Paul's getting at here in this whole discussion. And he's now addressing the Jews. And the Jews are wondering, well, what about the law? We're supposed to get our righteousness through the law. And Paul says, no. It comes through Jesus Christ. The law just brings out the fact that we're sinners. It gives us this whole list of stuff that we're not supposed to do, and we end up doing it. Ah, help. And so we see this beautiful contrast here, and if I can have the next slide, of Adam. Adam brought sin and condemnation to mankind. Jesus Christ brought justification and eternal life to mankind. The law made sin and death more obvious. Grace brought about righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so we see this beautiful contrast here of God's forgiveness and God's grace overcoming all the bad stuff, all the messed up, all the dysfunctional choices we've made. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. If you've never committed your life to Christ, we invite you to do that today. He loves you. He wants to transform you. He wants you to walk in forgiveness, freedom from guilt and shame and fear. I'd like to invite the musicians up as I close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you've come to bring us eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. We pray for your forgiveness, for your Spirit to come in and make us new, to use us to demonstrate your beauty and your majesty, your holiness, your life. Thank you for that, Lord. We commit ourselves to demonstrating your magnificence in our daily lives, our words, our thoughts, and our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen.